Welcome and good evening. This is Jack Mancini, and we are here in Willoughby, Ohio, 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. You're tuned to the right place right now. We're here for our usual Wednesday evening, talking about small businesses. And this is Dirty Secrets of Small Business, and we got a pretty good program tonight, which I'll get into in a second. But as you know, you longtime listeners, Adam, my esteemed partner of 15 years of business coaching together, we're here tonight. We have a special guest, which we'll introduce in a few minutes. But as you know, we take our shows usually when we aren't interviewing somebody, we take our shows and make them up from our coaching experiences during the week. And we've covered in the 3.5 years or so we've been doing this, probably 200 situations here where we have podcasts for all of our radio shows. So if you want to be an informed small business owner, understand how to make your business better, you listen to this show and you're going to learn an awful lot. So we do this every Wednesday night. We have a lot of fun doing it. And tonight we have a special guest, Jeff Tomaszewski. I may not be pronouncing that right. Am I, Tom?
That's close. Tomaszewski.
Or Jeff? Okay. Okay. That's close. Close is good.
Close enough.
So what we're going to do is hear his story with Max Strength Fitness. Excellent company, excellent concept. You're going to be thoroughly entertained by this. I know you will be. So Adam Sunhalter, why don't you pick it up from here?
All right, Jack Mancini. Yes, welcome everybody to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. As Jack said, we have Jeff in here today, and we'll let Jeff introduce himself here in a second. But if you want to be part of the show, if you have any questions, you're more than welcome to join the show. And the easiest way to do that is by giving us a call at 440-946-9468. Again, 440-946-9468. If you have questions for Jeff or you want to not share any dirty secrets with him, he'll share his own dirty secrets. That's part of him kind of being on the show. But he's also a Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business graduate, and we'll get into that a little bit later, too. We have our Goldman 10 for 10 corner that we do here once a month in the show. So we'll get into that here eventually. But we'll start out by, again, that was Jeff you heard earlier. So, Jeff, welcome to the show. I'm glad you can make it with us here.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
And if you wouldn't mind, it's always a good way to start out for our audience. Just kind of give them a little background in terms of maybe, you know, kind of where you grew up, maybe your education and your work experience before Max Strength Fitness. Just give them a little perspective on kind of what's Jeff all about.
Sure. So I grew up in Toledo, Ohio. I moved to the Cleveland area when I graduated high school. I went to Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. Went to undergraduate there, studied sports medicine and psychology. And I graduated as an athletic trainer. So I was a certified athletic trainer. I was a certified strength conditioning coach. I was always interested in sports, athletics. I was a football player, track athlete at the university. And when I graduated, I wanted to go into physical therapy. And I thought that's what my dream was, is to become a physical therapist. And so my first job out of school was in a physical therapy practice. At the time, it was called Ohio Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine. They were the largest outpatient physical therapy clinic in Northeast Ohio. I think we had 13 outpatient clinics throughout Northeast Ohio. Wow. And so I was a clinical athletic trainer because I wasn't yet a PT. And so I thought I wanted to go to physical therapy school to become a physical therapist. And so I wanted to get my, some background in the industry. And as I got into the industry, I loved it, enjoyed it. But then as insurance started to change and Medicare and all these other things, as soon as you're starting to get a patient well, they're starting to get pulled from their coverage because they only get 10, 12 visits approved at a time. And so that was really frustrating for me. And I just kind of saw where everything was going as far as the reimbursements were going down and down. And the industry was just, it didn't allure to me anymore. So at that time, I left the physical therapy practice and I went back to Case Western and I became the assistant athletic trainer. So I went back to my alma mater, which was great because I knew everybody's still there. And I got my master's at the university in exercise science, exercise physiology through the med school. The good thing about going to school when you're an employee is you get to go for free. So that was nice. So I got my master's for free.
Can't beat that price.
Yeah, it can't beat that price because undergraduate, that's a big chunk of change there. But no, it was great. So I was the athletic trainer. I was a professor in the sports medicine department. So I got to teach. I love teaching. So I was teaching all the student athletic trainers. I was also the strength coach for a lot of the athletic teams. And I helped with the track team. I was the pole vault coach. So I wore a lot of hats, if you will. And plus, going to school full time. So it was busy.
You didn't sleep very much.
I did not sleep very much, no. And so I was there for about another 3 years at the university. And when I was in physical therapy, one of my coworkers had come upon a method of strength training, which I do today. And it was different because I was used to just spending hours in the gym trying to get results. You know, as an athlete, you know, you go in at least 1 or 2 hours a day and try to exercise and do everything else. But then you get out of school and you get in the real world and all of a sudden you don't have so much time, right? So it's like your time spent is really, you got to prioritize. So I discovered this methodology where it was a fraction of the time I was spent in the gym. And I'm talking like 20 minutes twice a week. And I'm like, there can't get anything done in 20 minutes, let alone, you know, an hour like I'm doing now. But when I looked at the science behind it and how it works on the body and the physiology, and then I actually tested it, the results were profound. And so that's kind of led me into the field I'm in now. So the protocol was actually that I stumbled upon was developed out of an osteoporosis study in the early 80s. It was the University of Florida Medical School and Nautilus Corporation, the equipment manufacturer. Sure. And so Nautilus teamed up with University of Florida Medical School and they created an osteoporosis study. So they took these older female who were diagnosed with osteoporosis and they theorized that strength training would significantly increase their bone density, which we know it does. But they had to be very specific on how they did that. And so they utilized a protocol and they developed a protocol to do that. The protocol was meant to keep tension on your muscle the entire time, meaning that from the moment you start the exercise, you want to load the musculature and make it work. Whereas a lot of people just move very fast, and sure, that's not tension on the muscle. It's actually just momentum moving the weight or the joint being compromised. So what they found by slowing the speed down and by creating a controlled environment, these women got profound results with their bone density. But what also they found was 200 to 300% increases in strength. And you're like, well, why do these women have to be so strong? Well, you have to appreciate that we all suffer from sarcopenia. You ever heard of that term?
I have not.
All right. Yeah, well, that's okay.
I probably can spell it. It's probably a good Scrabble word, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Sarcopenia.
It's like a 12-point word. I don't know. But we've all heard of, you know, hypertension and diabetes and osteoporosis and those things. But we all suffer from sarcopenia, which is actually the wasting of muscle tissue. Hmm. And if we don't use it, we will lose it, so the saying goes.
Okay.
So we suffer from sarcopenia. After about the age of 30, we start to lose muscle mass at about a rate of 1% every 2 years if we don't strength train. So if we're losing that muscle mass, you're like, well, what's the big deal? Well, when you lose that muscle mass, your metabolism decreases, your energy decreases, your stability, mobility, and flexibility around your joints decrease. So you start to lose functionality, and you start to lose just, you know, the ability to do daily activities or recreational sports, yet the aging process, those things start to set in. So I was like, well, if we can get so many benefits from just this little bit of exercise and make a profound effect, I was like, this is just, I think, far more rewarding than working with people with orthopedic issues and injuries like I was in the physical therapy and the athletic training setting. But what this protocol allows for is us to actually treat clients that have all of these ailments too. So we can train clients with hip replacements, knee replacements, cages, fusions of the spine, Alzheimer's, dementia, cerebral palsy, multiple sclerosis, where because of our background, because of our protocol, because of our environment, it allows for us to treat these clients, if you will. Whereas traditional trainers will either avoid them or make them worse. I like to say we fix people, we don't break them.
Right.
So with a medical background coming in and from the athletic training side and then taking the protocol and developing from my background and molding it in to what we have today is what we call max strength fitness. So the protocol is twice a week for 20 minutes. You're in, out, back to your busy day. We keep the temperature controlled, which is different. So people think you need to sweat to be productive. Not true. Bonus, you can literally come into my facility and wear whatever you want. I've got a lot of business guys, like I got a shirt and tie on right now. They'll take a tie off and put some shoes on and train. Because we have the temperature controlled at about 67 degrees Fahrenheit, we have fans throughout the facility. It dissipates heat very quick. I don't want your body to sweat. Just like your car, if it overheats, it doesn't run as well. The same thing holds true with your body. So it's a mechanical process. The bonus, you can come in, train, and go right back to your busy day without showering or grooming. So it's not only temperature controlled, but it's also distraction free. Hmm. Most gyms are social settings. Music blaring, people socializing. You can't really focus in those environments. So with our background being clinical, we take that approach. Now, most of my clients love that because they don't like the traditional box gyms or the, you know, overcrowded places with music blaring, people socializing. So they love it from that perspective. But we do it to keep your attention so that we can get the most out of you in the safest manner possible. So it's, you're always one-on-one with your trainer. So I call that a clinical controlled environment.
Right.
And then our equipment is specialized in the fact it has very low friction on our machines. What that means to the user is, like I said, we like to lift the weights in about a 10-second period of time up and lower them in 10 seconds. So we move slowly because we want tension on that muscle, right? And that's what starts to create change in the body. So we can get away with only doing it for 20 minutes, whereas most people spend hours in the gym,
right?
Because research will show the sole determining factor for change in the body is the intensity of the exercise. So for example, let's use an analogy. If my goal was to get the world's best suntan, which I'm not advocating, by the way, so don't get upset, because all the bad things happen when you get suntan, burns and things like that. But if our goal was to get a suntan, now I could go out maybe in the midsummer day and like in July here in Cleveland, and if it's nice and sunny and hot, we've got the UV radiation beating down on us, because that's the stimulus that creates the suntan is the UV radiation, right? Like I go out there today, it's freezing cold and cloudy, I'm not going to get anything, right? There's no UV radiation getting through. But if I go out in July and I go out for, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes, next 24, 48 hours, I start the redding of the skin, that's the result that I'm getting is the tan. Or I could take that UV radiation and increase its intensity, bottle it up, if you will, and put it into a tanning bed, right, and within 6-7 minutes, get a better result in a fraction of the time I did sitting outside, right? Well, that's what we do at Max Strength Fitness. We increase the intensity or the quality of the exercise and decrease the volume and frequency. So yeah, there's an inverse relationship between those two.
It's interesting. As you're talking, I'm thinking about most people's workout, even if they work out for an hour, let's say, or 2 hours. Let's say it's an hour. How much of that hour are they really working out, right?
It's exactly.
Almost like you look at a football game, it's 3 hours long, but really, if you look at just the plays themselves, and if you watch just the plays, it's a 20-minute game, maybe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's not much. So we take all the fluff out of exercise, if you will.
Right.
We take all the socialization out of it. We take all of the downtime out of it, and we get to work. And our clients appreciate that, and they want that, because they don't have time, if you will,
right?
I mean, everybody, you know, if I ask people, why don't you exercise, the number one objection typically is, I don't have time. Well, we obviate that response. So you can literally come in.
He keeps using all these big, you know, he's using these fancy pants words.
He's a smart man.
I went to Case Western.
That's right.
I got to get the most out of my education.
We know our audience. We try to keep things simple. It's okay. We'll explain and point those things out.
Let me ask a question here.
Sure.
On as you age, you lose muscle mass.
Right.
Are you saying that with your program that you don't lose muscle mass, or you?
Well, what I'm saying is, one, we can stop that rate of loss, but we can gain it back too. Now, you might not gain back what you had in your 20s or 30s, but we can profoundly increase that muscle mass back on your frame, which will increase your strength.
So you can stop the muscle mass loss.
Yes. So in a sense, we can slow down or stop that aging process.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's pretty profound. So we also have what we call epigenetic changes. These are changes in our hormone profile, right?
I know those.
You know what those are, right?
Go on.
But females go through menopause. Men will go through andropause. And so typically 50 and above. But those hormones, research will show, from high-intensity strength training, we can either turn on, turn off, and can still get that aging or lack of aging benefit from that. So it's the closest thing I've ever found to the fountain of youth.
Okay.
No pills. No pills required.
I just wrote that down. I just wrote down fountain of youth in my notes. So I'm thinking, okay, it sounds like you're describing that you guys have found the fountain of youth.
Sure,
and
that's what it is.
It's one of those things that, you know, when I first met you, I said this, and we talked a few weeks ago. It's like, as you're talking about this, it almost sounds like it's too good to be true. And it's, if you think about the 20 minutes, I'm thinking 20 minutes, that's usually what you take in terms of getting ready, or you have to get done working out and you get undressed and shower and clean up. It takes even longer than that for a normal workout, right? Whereas that's the entire workout.
Right.
So we're up against our first break here.
Sure.
So let me hold on to that thought, because we got some more stuff I want to kind of share and talk about this. Because again, like I said, it almost does sound too good to be true, but you've had some tremendous success in terms of philosophy you guys use. And I want you to talk about the stories now when you started back in 2004 and how you started to kind of grow this year the last 15 years. So stay tuned. We got more with Jeff here from Max Strength Fitness. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini. If you want to be part of the program, 440-946-9468.
And stick around. We got more Dirty Secrets, a small business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini.
And we're here tonight with Jeff from Max Strength Fitness, and he's the owner, and what's it tell you, Chief Life?
Chief Life Transformer.
Chief Life Transformer.
That's what we do.
In our first segment, Jeff's given a little bit of background in terms of how he got to the formula for Max Strength Fitness. And part of the discussion, we're talking about how he discovered the fountain of youth. And it sounds almost too good to be true, where you can work out twice a week for 20 minutes and get transform your body in ways you can't even imagine. So we're going to hear more about that right now, in terms of when you first started out in 2004, you had your first location out in Westlake. But let's talk about how that kind of evolved, and then I know a couple of years ago you opened your next location in Willoughby with a very different perspective on things. But let's talk a little bit about kind of how you progressed.
Yeah, so in 2004 we opened up in Westlake. It was me. I mean, I was there by myself. And then when I got busier and built up, then I started to hire another trainer. And as we built up, we hired another trainer, and eventually it just started to pick up. And then at the time I had a business partner, and we just decided to amicably split, just different philosophy on how to grow a business. And so, I mean, we were in business for quite a while, and we split in 2013. So those 6 years, you know, just trying to build that business and just doing a lot of different things. So I wasn't really solely focused on that entity itself, because we had different interests. But then when I solely focused on, all right, this is what I want to do. I want to build this facility and make it world-class, and then eventually I want to serve more, because I live in Concord, but in Westlake is a 45-minute commute. And when I tell my Westlake clients I live in Concord, it might as well be like across the Atlantic Ocean.
Like, where is that, right?
Yeah, exactly. like crossing the Cuyahogas, like the ocean. But
yeah,
it is. but that, it's only 45 minutes. Right. But that being said, so I always wanted to, you know, open up in my backyard, if you will, in Lake County. And so once I built the systems, I built the team, I built the processes and everything in my Westlake facility, and I proved out that I could, you know, grow it pretty quickly once I started to sole focus on it, I was like, all right, now it's time to open up in Willoughby. And that's where we decided to land in Lake County. So I opened up in May of 2017. And the whole goal in that facility was to make it a model that could be scalable if I wanted to go that route. Okay. So one of the first business books I ever read, well, the first business book I ever read was The E-Myth. Right?
Oh, yeah. I love that book.
So I'm sure. But
mandatory reading.
Absolutely, right?
Very, I mean,
absolutely. So the whole thing with The E-Myth is you build a business and systemize it as if you're going to franchise, even if you don't. Because otherwise, you just have a really good job rather than owning a business, right? So you're working in the business rather than on it.
Right.
And so I always had that mindset moving forward. So I'm like, you know, I'm one man and I love training, but at the end of the day, it's not the best use of my time if I'm going to grow a business and scale it. So when I opened up the Willoughby facility, I said, all right, this has to be a model that I could reproduce 100-fold if I wanted to. So everything from the equipment layout to the building layout to the design to the team to the systems to how we answer the phone, everything is systemized so that it could be reproducible. And so we opened up that, like I said, in May of 2017, and we exploded. So now I've got 5 full-time trainers there, where it took me like 8-9 years to do that in Westlake. We've done that in, you know, a fraction of the time. And I've proven that, you know, with the marketing acumen and the business acumen, I've self-taught or learned, because I'm an athletic trainer, for crying out loud, right? I'm not a business guy. But yeah, I mean, we've grown that substantially, and we've got a great clientele now in Lake County, and we've got a nice presence, and we've got the 2 growing facilities, and things are good.
Okay. So going on with that mindset, your point, you know, you were kind of discovering the first facility at Westlake and kind of learning as you go, but once that light bulb kind of went off, you said, okay, now if I'm going for this next one, well, let's make this a nice little model. And
right.
And that mentality, and I got to believe all the learning you had from the prior 13 years of doing that, it's like, okay, well, you know, and especially something like the last 4 or 5 after you and your partner split, where it's really very, very focused in that mentality. So that, it's amazing. People often lose sight of, if they aren't thinking a little differently or they aren't thinking a little longer term, you get stuck in where you are. And that's kind of, often that's where they are for years or decades.
Sure. I mean, so, yeah, we get stuck in the day-to-day and we get in the weeds. And it's like, if you don't have that vision already carved out, know exactly, you know, think of with the end in mind, and then, I just like to reverse engineer it all the way down. All right, if this is what I want to accomplish in 10 years, what do I need to do in 5? What do I need to do in 3? What do I need to get done this year? What do I need to get done this quarter? What do I need to get done this month, this week, this day, this hour, this minute?
Right.
And then it makes it simple, because it's like, it's not overwhelming thinking about, oh, I want to grow into 150 facilities or whatever the case may be, right?
Right.
It's sure, like
you got manageable
little
modules.
You know, eat the elephant one bite at a time, right? Because otherwise you get too stressed, too overwhelmed, and you just give up.
So we deal with a lot of partner issues. We're talking a little bit off the air about spouses as partners, one thing. But you had a partner for a little while, and often people have like a bad experience with a partner, and all of a sudden they kind of swear off partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had kind of different experiences for us personally, and in terms of we've had very good success with partnerships and realized that they can be very, very helpful, especially if you have the right partners.
Sure.
So I'm curious with your experience with partners. So you guys split amicably, so it split okay. Do you have thoughts about bringing partners back in again, or you think you kind of?
I mean, it depends. It would depend on the situation. It would depend on, you know, the partnership. I think if you both have skill sets that are opposite, and you both know your roles, and you communicate well together, then they can flourish and they can be great. But some people aren't—they're just meant to go it alone, and that's fine too. You know, I think you got to know your personality better than anything, and know what you want to get in the end return. And if you know, you can still grow and excel without having a partner, because you can hire people below you that don't have your skill set, that you can still ascend into the company, into bigger roles, but yet they're not your partner.
Right.
So.
Well, one of the things we talk about too is it's often very lonely owning a company, right?
Sure.
And I know you mentioned before that you talk about being a self-taught guy in terms of business, because mm-hmm. that's one of your philosophies. You mentioned, we were talking on the phone a few weeks back too, about it's, you know, the key for you is that you're continuously trying to learn.
Right.
It's a very important thing for you. But talk a little bit about some of the things that you delve into. You mentioned some books. I know you mentioned podcasts. But, you know, what kind of things did you do to kind of educate yourself, one, but then also to get where you found kind of that tribe of folks you can kind of be with? You know, what kind of things did you kind of get into from that
standpoint? Yeah, so, you know, early on as I started to get into this, I'm like, well, I quickly realized that, you know, running a business is a lot harder than it looks. And I was a technician at the time, obviously, right? I mean, I didn't go to the MBA school, and I was an athletic trainer. And so you get into it, and you're like, all right, well, I need to learn. And so you just self-taught, but you try to find the resources that are available to you or wherever you can find them, so books or podcasts. But I found getting into membership groups of, like, Entrepreneurs Organization is a great one. I was a member of that for a number of years. Goldman Sachs program, which I was involved with, which we'll talk about in a little bit, I'm sure. That was an amazing opportunity. So getting around like-minded individuals and entrepreneurs that aren't necessarily even in your niche. And I'll be honest, I love talking to entrepreneurs that aren't in the fitness industry. Because even though we're in different niches or industries, if you were, or verticals, we all have the same problems. We all have employees. We all have the issues. You know, we all have the payroll to meet. And, you know, so those are universal across the
board. They're pretty finite.
Yeah, exactly. So I can take a problem or an issue that I have and go to a Mike DiStefano, who was on your team and he's an accountant, and, you know, and bounce something off of him where he's got a completely different perspective that I never would have even considered. I'm like, you know, that won't fit into my business. And that's what you hear all the time. It's like, well, that doesn't apply to my business.
Right.
But 9 times out of 10,
it definitely applies
to your business,
that's right?
So I think you got to be open-minded, but surround yourself with like-minded individuals, because entrepreneurs, we're a special breed, right? And a lot of people won't understand that or get that until they get into it. You know, we're responsible not only for providing for ourselves and our family, but everybody else that we employ.
Right.
So, you know, we don't have the luxury of clocking in and clocking out. So I tell my kids that I've got the best boss in the world and I've got the worst boss in the world. It depends on the mood he's in. Me, of course.
Yeah, and they can appreciate that. No, you're right, man. You know, I had the good fortune growing up with a family where my parents had a company. I thought that was just kind of a normal way of going about things. And
right. As
I got older, I realized a lot of my friends' parents had jobs.
Yeah.
To your point. And so whereas a lot of our dinner time discussions were around business stuff, if things were kind of going on, we were aware of it. My friends were like, no, we don't talk about business at all during dinner. Or if they did, it was always negative stuff, right?
Right,
hey,
sure.
Hey, the man's keep me down here. But it wasn't that kind of positive stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you aren't exposed to it, I don't know, you know, did you have your parents involved in that stuff?
No. Unfortunately, my mother passed away when I was 5 of ovarian cancer. My dad was a factory worker in Toledo. I mean, he did the best he could with, you know, raising 3 boys on his own. But, yeah, no, I never had any entrepreneurial surroundings of family members or anybody else that, you know, until I got older, and then I just kind of got that bug. I was like, wow, it's a whole nother world, right?
So you had the seizure, the entrepreneurial seizure that Gerber talks about.
Yeah.
That's right. How do you market yourself? You're very confident with your growth aspirations here.
Market my business or myself?
Your business.
Well, I mean, because they're one and the same, I guess. So, you know, we rely heavily on referrals. You know, just like I think any great business does. So we get amazing results. Clients rave about us and tell their family and friends, and they refer into us. And we reward highly. So we're always rewarding our clients when they refer. But we do some advertising too. So we'll do some print stuff. Our demographic's typically 50 and above, and they love to read still, which is awesome. So we'll do some print things. We're in a couple different local newspapers or magazines. We'll do some online stuff, but not a lot. I found that that's just not the best ROI. We do a lot of, we'll do some direct mail things too. some, you know, shock and awe stuff. I love marketing. When I got into business and I realized that I need to bring people in the door in order to survive, and I really started to get into the nuances and the psychology behind why people buy and the selling process and what, you know, makes them motivated and, you know, despair and all those things. Because my background is actually I have a major in psychology at Case.
Sure, right.
My minor was sports medicine because they didn't have a major in sports medicine. So I had to find something. I was like, I didn't want to go into chemistry. I was like, so I wanted, you know, so psychology. I was always fascinated by the mind and behavior and habits and changes and things like that. And we utilize those all the time with our clients, which is awesome to find, you know, changing their behavior. Like people go on a diet, diets don't work.
No.
Because it has to become a lifestyle, right? The best diet in the world is the one that you do every day of your life, and I no longer call that a diet. It's just the way you live.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how you eat and do stuff and find it to where something fits in. And so,
yeah,
to your point, if people say, when people say I don't have time, that usually means that you haven't explained to them why what you're talking about is important to them, right? And you're doing a good job of taking that thing where people say that they've been very comfortable for years saying I don't have time to train or work out. You're saying, wait a minute. You don't have 40 minutes a week that you can find.
When people say I don't have time, what they're actually saying is I haven't made it a priority.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we all got the exact amount of time, same time in the day.
You're right.
So
that's right.
We're up against our next break, and when we come back, we're gonna have our Goldman Sachs 10 for 10 corner. We're just gonna kind of give some background in terms of where he was when we found about the Goldman Sachs program, and we'll delve into that here a little bit in our third segment. So stay tuned. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini.
And stick around, we got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, wintradio.com. All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini.
And we're here with Jeff from Max Strength Fitness, and this is the time for our Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business, our Goldman 10 for 10 corner. So we're going to talk about Jeff's experience with the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program. And I figure out the best place to always start with this, Jeff, is I like to give people a sense of kind of where you were at when you first heard about the Goldman Sachs program, and you know, to give people a sense of where your head was. And then as you heard about it, what were you kind of thinking you were going to get out of it, and kind of what was your experience like as you kind of get in there? So just kind of give us a little picture kind of where you were at when you heard about it.
Sure, yeah. So I first heard about it through a Cuyahoga Community College email, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. And at the time, I had just separated with my former business partner, and so on my own now, and I was like, this is a perfect opportunity because I was rebranding. I was changing up a lot of the systems. And I was like, I never had a formal education, and Babson looks pretty good. They're backing it with everything. So I was like, that sounds pretty cool, and it's free.
And the price is right.
And the price is right,
just
absolutely.
Like your master's degree. Okay,
I mean, it's my time. I get it. But at the end of the day, I'm in. So you went through the application process, which was nerve-wracking because you're like, you really want to get in, and you got all these, and you're doing a pitch, basically, is what you're doing.
Right.
But it was great. So, I got accepted. I was in the fifth cohort at that time.
That's pretty early on. Right now, yeah. I think they're in cohort 20 or 21
It's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah, so we were cohort number 5. I think there was like 35 or 36 of us in that cohort. And what I really wanted to get out of it, because, you know, obviously being a solo entrepreneur and not having the business acumen or background, I wanted to see what I was missing. You know, like the formal MBAs and all the business coaching and all the, you know, people that come in marketing and all these other things. I was like, I want to see where I stand. And because I had no idea, I don't know what I don't know, right?
Right.
And so the thing I got the most out of it was the financial components. You know, the business, looking at your P&L and looking at your balance sheet and all of these things, and looking at it from a different perspective, and then creating a dashboard and your KPIs or your key performance indicators. I'm like, what are these things, right? It's like I need to know my numbers. I'm like, I just, if there's money in the bank, I'm good, and if there's not, I better go hustle and make some more money and sell some more.
So many small business owners think that way.
Yeah, absolutely,
they
right?
Don't know anymore.
So you're reactive rather than being proactive, right?
Right.
And so it was great because, again, as I said earlier, you're around like-minded entrepreneurs, and so now I'm in the Cleveland area with these other people around me who I don't know hardly any. I didn't know any of them, actually, to be honest with you. And getting to know them very intimately from just their, you know, what keeps them up at night and what keeps me up at night, and sharing those issues and those problems, and being able to then dive into and help your peers and them help you. And it was always just mutual respect, which was, you know, nobody's head was too big for the room. And there's people that were a lot bigger than I was, and there's people that were a little bit smaller. But at the end of the day, we're all there for the same thing. We all just wanted to grow our businesses. So it was really cool to get to know these people. Until this day, I mean, I still keep in contact with a lot of them. My group, in fact, actually, I can't take credit because I don't participate, but they still meet every once a month. They do it, unfortunately, on Wednesdays when I get my kids on the bus, so I've devoted that time to that. But that's okay. But I keep in contact with a lot of them, like Mike DiStefano, sure. Mark, you know, all of these people. It's just, it was a great, great opportunity. I learned a ton, and I was just so thankful for that opportunity.
So you said when you're going in, you kind of wanted to, you know, take measure yourself a little bit, kind of, you know, see how I'm doing. You said, hey, I'm kind of doing stuff, but, you know, am I doing the right things, wrong things, or whatever it might do. So as you kind of went in there, you know, how'd you fit? You know, if you give yourself a grade, how were you doing versus your?
I think I did pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I mean, at the end of the day, because I had to learn, or you got to grow, or you got to die, right? Or you're gonna die. So I was forced to learn how to market, learn how to sell, learn how to put systems in place, learn how to grow a team, and I had to do it by force. But then learning a lot of these tried and proven systems that they are teaching you, like, oh, well, we do that maybe just a little bit differently, or we do that very similar. But then you could take these things, you're like, that's a golden opportunity right there, and that's a nugget right there, and just tweak the things you're doing and go back and implement. You know, I think where our classes were, they were all day on Friday, and they're exhausting. So I come in on Monday, I'm like, oh, Jeff just went to Goldman Sachs. This is what we're going to do this week. And that's the beauty of being an entrepreneur. I'd have to clear it with anybody. I don't have to run it through HR because I am HR. Right. And I could simply just, here's what we're going to do, right? But it was, I mean, there's just so much information in the network and the support and the coaches that they have and the business advisors, they call them. They were always there for you. You could email them. You could call them. You could set up one-on-one meetings with them. So it was just a great support system. It was just a great program.
No, it's a good thing. As you come in, you mentioned you kind of come in, you see people. Again, you walk into strangers, and for those of you who aren't familiar with the program, it's about a three-month program. It's once a week, like Jeff said, it's pretty much all day, and then even a few days in between sometimes. But they take that group of 35 or 40 people, and they break them into smaller groups of maybe five or six, and that really becomes that team that you you start to open up to, and they open up to you as well. And it's an amazing process. If you haven't been through something like that, you go from being strangers on day one to where you can feel the camaraderie. You know, we had the chance to get involved in some of the later sessions are going, sure. Like when the banking pitch presentation, mm-hmm. where they talk about the mentors or coaches going on through stuff. And at that point, they've been in the program for 10, 11, 12 weeks.
Right.
And you can just feel it. You know, the camaraderie's there. There's, you know, people busting each other's butts back and forth. Again, there's a good feel to it. And you can kind of know just kind of walking the room. And these folks, even though they're in very different businesses, there's a certain core that's there. It helps to kind of bring that out, which is sure. You know, which is fantastic. And you mentioned in your prior or earlier in your career, you were a professor and you enjoy the teaching part of that, right?
Sure.
So you mentioned during this, so we have a chance to help each other, right?
Yeah.
Which is a chance to, I think people often miss that.
Yeah.
You know, or they may think about, well, what do I have to offer?
Right.
You know, hey, I'm just this guy. You know, I don't have any formal training and all this stuff. So did you start to, you know, talk about your confidence level. It sounds like it kind of started to go up in that three-month period, right?
Yeah, I mean, because day one, you're like, you know, you're just kind of sizing everybody up. It's like, what do they know? What don't I know? And then you start to have these conversations. They're like, they're just human like I am. And then you can start to give some value, and they give value, and then it's just a complete back and forth. And I'll be honest with you, that's probably the best thing I got out of it, was being able to lend a hand or help and give some value somewhere. It just, again, coming from a different perspective, right? And that's what I loved about the program, is everybody came in, checked their ego at the door, completely transparent, and just, you know, what's going on, what's working, what's not working, and how can we all get better?
Right.
And just being around that group of like-minded individuals with that energy. I mean, let's face it, you know, we're mostly type A. Trying to keep everybody's attention was hard. But at the end of the day, you know, you're like-minded, you've got a goal, you're all trying to grow your businesses. So it was a great environment.
Yeah, it's a very good learning environment. As Jack mentioned before, and it's a common thing where folks don't usually spend time with their financials or their numbers.
Right.
They don't know about it. And people are like, well, Jimmy, I should go take an accounting course or take this course. It's like, well, you do that, and it's almost it's like going back to back to school, right? We were talking about the widget company, you've seen back to school, right? It's like, it's not real.
Right.
But all of a sudden, if you're dealing with your numbers, your business, all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, and you see what's going on, you know, as part of it. Whereas it was just like going to a class and some ABC companies, like, well, this doesn't really mean much to me.
Yeah, when you pull up your balance sheet and your P&L and you start to manipulate some of those numbers by changing a couple variables in your business, I mean, the results can be profound.
Right.
You know, and it's just little subtle changes that you would not have thought about, in just key implementation along the way, and you get that compound effect. And yeah, I mean, it can dramatically change your business.
Right. Yeah, we don't see how somebody can run a small business without knowing the numbers. It's just
impossible. You'd be surprised.
Oh, they do it.
Been there, done that.
So many just don't make it.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest reason.
Sure.
And it's what they don't know, as you said before. That's exactly what we always come up with.
Well, it's like, you know, you're in the car and you're just driving blind, right? I mean, it's like there's no navigation system. It's just like you and the pedal, and you're just pushing as hard as you can.
Right.
And once in a while, pumping the brakes.
Mm-hmm. And your point, I think most owners do a version of what you did. They're looking at the bank account, and you could usually judge how full or near empty the bank account was by the mood of the owner.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. As you said earlier, your kids knowing, you have a best boss or worst boss, depending on the day. And it's very true, because fewer things cause more stress in a company than cash.
Right.
Or lack of cash, right?
Yeah.
And we've had discussions with people over the years where they talk about all different kinds of companies. Hey, I can't forecast my business. I can't do that. It's like, wait a minute. You can forecast any business.
Right.
You can start to. It's understanding what's there. What can you see?
Sure.
Maybe you can't do it 100%, but say, look, here's the path we're going down. Here's what I kind of see. Here's my best guesses. But you start to understand what these things are showing you. And Jack said, it's like, you mentioned like driving for a GPS or a pilot flying. Okay, well, you have things that are there. They're telling you stuff, but. The untrained eye, I don't want to look at it if I go into cockpits. There's a bunch of freaking numbers and gadgets, and I don't know what these things are telling me. But if all things start to see, it's like, oh, wait a minute, that's what that is. And you connect the dots, because, again, you're in the business, and you know, hey, well, that's okay, that's customer A doing this, or that's what we do over here. Oh, gee, if we don't do this, okay, I'm seeing it. Now I start to understand those light bulbs start to kind of go off. And it's funny, people are surprised at how excited they get or interested they get, whereas like it used to be it's so boring dealing with the counting and numbers. And it's like, what we find is people have all these questions,
right?
And they aren't sure how to ask it. Or you get to the point, if you've been in business for a while, all of a sudden people will assume that you have this stuff figured out,
right?
And you don't want to wave your hand and say, "Hey, I'm the dummy over here. I don't really understand this stuff," right? It's like most people don't understand this stuff.
Right.
I got to believe most people that were in your class, aside from the Mike DeStefanos of the world, accounting folks, probably 30 of the 36 people. We're in the same boat you were.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's humbling but exciting at the same time. Yeah. It's like you're not alone, right?
Right.
And I love those conversations. I have a client of mine who's been a hugely successful businessman. He's bought and sold companies and ran them. And one thing he always said as far, with the numbers, and he's like, cash is king. He's right. Like, and I have a secretary that worked for me like 30 years, and then she retired, and I could call her to this day and say, "Hey, Betty, what's our saying?" And she's like, "It's cash is king."
It's a good mantra to have.
Yeah.
So it's it was a very, very positive experience. If it's been a few years since you went through it, but if you had anything that you wish that they maybe kind of changed, as you look back on it, say, I wish if they'd done this or done that, could have made things even better for us.
Yeah, I mean, the growth plan that you spend a lot of time, and that's a whole thing. You go there and you learn all of these, your marketing, the advertising, the business systems, the people, the finance. And then you at the end of the day, you create what they call a growth plan. It's how do you grow your business, right? And at the end, it's like writing like a little mini thesis, if you will, and a report, and then you defend it and you present it. And so the thing I would say is there was follow-up with it and there was feedback, but not as much as I thought, as much as time as we put into it, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe some accountability towards that. Because, I mean, it's like you're done with it and it's like all good and great, but, what do you do with it then?
Mm-hmm.
And that's at the very end of the program. But I understand why they structure it the way they do. I can't fault them for it. It's just if I had to nitpick, that'd be one thing.
Okay. No, you're right. I mean, it's the focus. One of the things we talk about is, with that growth plan, it almost assumes that the base business is doing okay.
Right.
But it's okay. They're teaching a lot of the basics through this growth plan piece. And I think the smarter ones say, I may take this. Let me apply this now to my base company.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get the growth plan. But there are a lot of folks we talked to that they said, look, it gave me a framework that the growth plan did. And so if I have different ideas or things I'm thinking about, it gave me a tool to kind of go back to and know how to decide, hey, this is a good thing? It's worthwhile to spend time on it or not? So, all right. So that's our Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business kind of Goldman 10 for 10 corner for this month of November. Thanks, Jeff, for sharing that with us. And if you're looking for more information on that, just if you can Google Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program, you'll see there are a number of cities across the country. And if If you want to sign up for it, there's ways to apply. You can see it online. So when we come back, we'll have our final segment here with Jeff from Max Strength Fitness and hear more about not only how he got to where he is, but also ways to plan for the future. So stay tuned. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini. I'm looking for that fountain of youth, Jeff.
Well, you got to come in and do it.
There you go. All right. Okay. Stick around. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business.
I found it.
Yeah.
All right. Go on, Adam.
Coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right, all right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini.
And we're here with Jeff from Max Strength Fitness. He's been sharing with us a lot of different stories. And we just finished with our Goldman Sachs segment. And we were talking off the air, too, about how he progressed there. I just want to touch on that real quick. You know, as you said, it's a very intense program. And all of a sudden, you kind of get dropped. And it's like, what happens then? And so you had a very good experience with
Yeah. So after the Goldman Sachs program, I then joined the Entrepreneurs Organization Accelerator Program. And so Entrepreneurs Organization, it's a worldwide program. And the accelerator program is taking businesses that are $1 million or less in gross revenue and accelerating them past that $1 million mark and then ascending them into the parent organization of Entrepreneur Organization or EO. So it was a great transition for me from Goldman Sachs into EOA, as we call it, Entrepreneurs Organization Accelerator Program, because again, like-minded people, entrepreneurs, they're all looking to grow their company, grow their businesses. They stay up at night with the same problems and issues and stresses that you have. So it's a good sounding board. And so that was a great transition for me from Goldman Sachs into that.
All right. So finding those things that are out there. Again, if you're feeling lonely, there's other folks out there who are just like you. It's good to go find things that are like that. So you mentioned about finding the fountain of youth, Jack, when we come back from break. And I know Scotty, our engineer, had a few questions too, because Scotty's a fitness guy, right, Scotty?
I am indeed. I'm a huge fitness guy, a huge guru. I have a lot of ideas. It's pouring and it's oozing. I actually spend quite a bit of time for my workouts each day. I actually do 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week, 2 to 3 hours a day at the least, sometimes even more.
Why so much?
At the same time, you talk about intensity. My intensity at the gym doesn't stop from the time I walk in to the time I leave. So a lot of people, like you even said, you've cut down people's workouts from 1 hour to 20 minutes, which I understand a lot of people want to do because they have a lot going on. I actually have more time on my hands right now, so that's why I'm pushing through and breaking some boundaries and spending more time there. If it's with cardio, if it's with strength training, a lot of these things, agility work, dexterity work, all is flexibility. Flexibility is everything. So those are the things that I personally do. I understand why you're asking why so much. There's reasons for it. I'm very sports avid, sports advocated with a lot of the things that I do, with what I believe, with the way that I think, with my whole philosophy, my mentality. And a lot of those ideas are things that you've talked about tonight for yourself and, sure. and for your business. And those are some big ideas that I have for myself where I can carry people, where I can tell them that I've been and then show them physically and mentally, tell them mentally the steps that I've taken to get to this point. But some of the questions that I have for your Max Strength Fitness that maybe you can convey the message to the listeners, because I've listened in tonight and I've heard some of the philosophies and ideas that you have, but you haven't touched on all of the bases. So some of the questions that I have are, is it like a CrossFit style that you're going to be teaching some of the people that you have in your classes? Is it like which muscle groups are you going to be working with? And is it going to be like that flexibility or agility training that,
sure.
that I talk about that I personally do for myself?
Yeah, no, those are great questions. And so I'll take the first one. So take CrossFit and do the opposite, and that's us.
Good, and that's what I like.
So at the end of the day, and nothing against – look, at the end of the day, what we do at Max Strength Fitness, I believe, and my clients have proven time and time again with countless sessions, we prove it. It's the most efficient, effective, and safe, and sustainable way to exercise for the rest of your life. Now, I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all. It's what we do. It's what works. People get amazing results with CrossFit. People get amazing results doing all kinds of other things. So I'm not saying ours is the only way. I'm just saying for my clientele who are typically 50 and above, have a lot of orthopedic issues, who are overweight, overstressed, overworked.
Okay.
They've spent their life building their empire and their wealth, and they let their health suffer.
Gotcha.
So that's our niche, if you will.
That makes sense.
So yeah, I mean, you can get amazing results doing exactly what you're doing, spending hours in the gym, but I would just ask the question, why spend so much time? But if you got it, go ahead, you know, knock your socks off. I used to do that too.
Definitely.
But we do address all of those things as far as the flexibility. When you go through a full range of motion, you increase flexibility around the joint.
Which is exactly what
when
I
you go
I
through, when you work at a high level of intensity like we do, get a profound cardiovascular benefit.
Exactly.
Which most people think you need to run and jog and swim to get a cardio benefit.
You got to
think of
sweat.
Your muscular system kind of like your the engine in your car. When you rev the engine, your exhaust works harder. Well, that's your cardiovascular system. So your cardiovascular system is subservient to the muscles. Make the muscles work harder.
Exactly.
Heart and lungs have to work harder.
Exactly.
So we get clients with, you know, post-cardiac rehab that come to us, you know, heart attacks and stents and pacemakers. And
yes.
We train them all efficiently, effectively, but most importantly, like I said, safe.
And
so you get
important.
All of those physiological benefits that you can get from any other exercise program.
Cool.
It's just for us efficient, effective, and safe.
And that's the most important thing. You say efficient, effective, and safe. That is what I strive for at the gym, too.
Yeah.
Everything I do is full range of motion.
Yep.
I from when the time I walk into the gym to the time I leave, it's all based on if it's handstands, if it's jumping on boxes. It's all about agility. Cardiovascular endurance is what I teach.
Sure.
It's all strength in numbers. Talking to people, showing them the way, you know, if that's what I need to do. I try to limit that as much as I can when I get into the gym. I try to stay focused, as you've touched on tonight as well, that a lot of the things that you do at Max Strength Fitness is all based on a good atmosphere, a good experience, but then not having those kind of things to take your cross train, you know, take your mind off it. You want them to stay focused, stay drilled in, and then intense and totally involved in the system that you guys have in place for them, which is very important. But one of the things that I like to do is to work everything together, to focus on the right muscle groups for the day, but at the same time, go the extra mile, go the extra level,
hey, Scotty,
keep that intensity
Scotty,
up.
I'm going to have to cut you off.
Okay.
We're going to get a few more things
sounds good.
With Jeff going on.
Most def-
So ours are total body workouts too. So we're not just doing the split routines or one body muscle group one day and one the other day. When you come in, it's a complete total body workout the entire 20 minutes because it's taxing the entire system because the body works physiologically as a whole. And so we tax it as a whole.
It
we
does.
Let it recover as a whole, bring you back, repeat that process. So it's very, from that perspective, complete total body workout, 20 minutes, twice a week, no sweat, back to your busy day.
So these two are going to have a good back and forth, Jack, about all the different stuff of the body, we'll get to. But we're talking about some business stuff here. So Jack mentioned about, and thanks for the question, Scott.
Yeah, thank you.
The things you do in terms of the marketing, but one of the marketing things that you do is to wow your customers and create these raving fans. Talk about a little bit about some of the things you do that are a little bit different. I know you mentioned that you have a weekly video series.
Yeah, so we're always trying to give one of our core values at Max Strength Fitness is to over deliver. We would try to give more to a client in value than they give us in payment. And you know our clientele is they're high end, and we charge a decent rate. We're competitive in the market, but at the end of the day, we're trying to say, all right, not only is the workout I think world class, but how can we world class and help them in other avenues of their life, dealing with stress, dealing with nutrition, dealing with all the other things that they're dealing in a day when they walk out the door, right? And so we do a lot of content for our clients. So every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, they'll get an email from me. It's either a special report, or it's a video. Every Saturday we produce videos in-house. So it's motivation, inspiration, things that you wouldn't think like most personal trainers. It's a lot of holistic back and forth. We'll talk about meditation. We'll talk about stress relief. We'll talk about habits and how you make a habit and how you change. We'll talk about nutrition and those other things. Most of my videos and my extra content has nothing to do with exercise because I want them to win the war when they walk out the door, right? We'll take care of what they do when they're in here. We have their undivided attention. But when they leave, I want to try to make them successful too. And that's why I think helps sets us apart from most traditional trainers where they're just going to worry about that workout that day and then out the door and then there they go.
That's good. And you're not just filling their inbox with a bunch of sales material. But so it's really trying to gear it towards helping them.
It's all content. Value is what we're after. The business sells itself. I don't have to sit there and pitch it.
You buy in, are your clients long-term pretty much? They stay with you and grow?
I mean, I started back in 2004 originally in 2007 in Westlake, and I've got a ton of clients that are still with us from that day.
You.
Yeah, I've got a lot of clients 10, 11, 12 years under their belt. So
that's terrific.
Yeah,
it is. That says a lot for the program. Obviously.
Yeah, it does. It says a lot a lot of clients will tell me this is the one thing that I've stuck with consistently for a long period of time.
Right.
Because again, it's only 20 minutes twice a week in and out, but it works and it's safe. and they get the results.
Getting the results. And you mentioned too on the marketing front, you talked about how you know your customer. So when you're talking preparing whether reports, videos, whatever it might be, you know who you're talking to. It's 50 plus where they are, and so that helps you get very, very focused. Those are some key things that I think people often will miss. And when you said, one of the things I think has probably been a big key to your success, Jeff, is that you really have delved into the marketing piece of it.
Yeah.
Where most folks don't.
Right.
It's like, hey, looking for some magic wand somewhere, and hey, all of a sudden I find this. It's not that. It's a bunch of these different things together that help make things work.
Yeah, I know who my clientele is. I know who I want to serve, and I know who we serve best. So we can train athletes, and we can train high school and college kids, but I don't go after them. I don't even market to them. Well, we get a handful from their parents or clients of ours, but that's not who we love serving. And we're not a service to everybody. A lot of people don't like to train hard, and they don't like to train intensely, and they don't like the environment, which is fine. Like other people, whatever suits you. I tell clients, I don't care what you do. Even if you don't train with us, please just strength train in some capacity, because it has to be a tenet. It has to get the benefit, battle that sarcopenia, as I mentioned earlier.
You have more women than men?
No, actually it's 50-50.
Oh,
yeah, it's
okay.
It's a good split, 50-50. Yeah.
All right, we got about a minute and a half to go. I want to give you a chance to talk about you mentioned your vision.
Sure.
And it's important to have a vision. So as you're looking to maybe potentially franchise it, but if you look out the next 10 years, what do you see for Max Strength Fitness?
World domination. No, I'm just kidding. eradicating, the obesity epidemic and eradicating the lifestyle problems that we have. Cardiovascular disease and all of these other things, they are completely preventable. If we change our lifestyle, if we exercise, if we eat whole foods, we're mindful, and we get enough sleep, that's really a very simple recipe for success, yet we like to make it complex. And I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be. So my mission is to try to serve as many as we can and try to make them as healthy as they can so that they can enjoy the back nine, if you will, of their life. And I mean, they've built their life upon, working, and now they want to enjoy it in retirement. And that's what we afford those clients. So they can go to Europe and they can hike and they can travel and they can do these things without limitations, play with their grandkids, get up off the floor without aches and pains. And their schedule now is their own, and it's not dictated by doctor visits, right?
That's awesome. That's a good way to do it. All right.
Absolutely.
Well, the fastest hour in radio and podcast is done again. They want to thank you for joining us in this week's edition of Dirty Secrets of Small Business. And Jeff, appreciate you being here with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
It's a pleasure having you in the studio.
Thoroughly enjoyable.
You can catch us every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. If you want to get a hold of us in between, you can shoot us an email at radio@maximumvp.com or give us a call, 877-849-0670. Again, 877-849-0670. If you missed any of today's show or any of our prior shows, you can catch them all on our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com, or our Facebook page. It's Dirty Secrets of Small Business. You can catch them all there, or you can subscribe to it from your smart device and be delivered right there. Any place you go, you get your podcast, you can do it there as well. Hey, learn more Dirty Secrets of Small Business next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Hey, thanks for listening on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com.